Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome here to Sports Central. My name is Nathan Forlina, Corey Geiger in studio as well. Hopefully, everybody is having themselves a great day. Great weather out. I got out, went for the first run in a long time. Corey, I was telling you this off the air. Feels good to be outside, man. It's beautiful weather and you know, hopefully this can continue until, I don't know, September or October.
It'd be awesome. We were just talking right before we came on the air about running. Like, running is such a great concept. How far did you run?
About 3 miles.
Well, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. To me, running is a great concept until you start doing it and you're like, hell no, man.
See, we live on this hill, so what I do is it's a mile and a half to the bottom, a mile and a half up. So
oh, my God.
You go down first. And,
so yeah. your last mile and a half is uphill?
All up, and we're not talking like... It's never really like flat, maybe flat for like, I don't know. Like,
hang on, I might have had just a heart attack listening to you.
It might be like 50 meters might be flat, then you're getting right back up, and it's like steep incline, and it sucks because you're feeling good after the first mile and a half because you are going downhill.
Yeah, you're going downhill. You know, doing all the work for
you. Yeah, I'm timing me. I'm like, oh, you know, there's pretty good pace. Then I'm like, I turn around, and I'm starting to like jog for, I don't know, 200 meters. I'm like, just panning. I'm like,
there are a lot of runners out there, and God bless you. No, What did I say to you when you said I was out running today?
Who's chasing you?
Who's chasing you?
So, I'm not like this big runner where I'm obsessed with that. I'm like, I need to run. Like, I need to be so dieted to where I can get blah, blah, blah timing and stuff like that. I do literally just to burn calories and eat what I want to eat.
That's good.
That's the only reason I run. And I guess it gets me out and, you know, getting
especially
some.
Especially when it's hot like this. But, man, yeah, I
oh, you it's know, worse when it's 20 degrees hotter.
Like, I was lightning fast when I was a kid, sprinter, 100-meter dash, 200-meter dash. But one reason I didn't like track was, like, during the off season, you know what they make you do is, even as a sprinter, they make you run all these distances, like 2 and 3 miles. And I'm like, I got to run 100 meters. Why do I got to run 2 miles to prepare for – well, I mean, that's what you end up doing. That's what a lot of people don't realize, how much running – that so many athletes across other sports. To me, I'm just like, unless somebody's chasing me, I'm not getting out and running.
Track's definitely an interesting sport because I threw in track in middle school.
What'd you throw?
Discus shot? But yeah, so.
Javelin?
No, because I hopped out because going into ninth grade, I was still doing track, but then COVID cut it short and after that,
right.
I'm not hopping
so
back.
So like throwing the shot put.
It's tough. I mean, I was never good at it. I'm not like this superhuman strong.
Did you have good technique and form and everything?
Probably the only reason I got it as far as I did, because of the technique and form, because I relied so much on that. So.
I'm curious, how many like big, strong guys, you're like, oh, that guy'd be really good at the shot put, sucked because they just didn't have the form
footwork and how fast you can like especially like spinning and stuff like that. Whenever you get to the higher, like the kicks and stuff like that, you got to be able to like generate momentum there. But, I mean, usually toward the end of the year, you'd see a lot of improvement in a lot of, like, the bigger guys, maybe not as coordinated. You'd see the improvement, and then all of a sudden, they'd be just flat out embarrassing you. Like, me, I was a small
right.
kid, so, like,
yeah.
I mean, like...
The strong guys, once they figured out the technique.
Yeah, I wasn't the worst, but I definitely was nowhere near these top guys who are big kids who kind of are supposed to be there, and I'm just there just to do something. So, yeah, that's that little Nathan track story.
Here's the thing. I like talking about different kinds of things. We talk all the time.
When's the last time you talked about track and field on the show?
Yeah, you know, I was watching a Usain Bolt video the other day, and are we going on like 20 years that his record has held, like 9.58, 9.59
I think
or whatever?
08 was.
08, yeah. So about that.
It'll be 20 years.
And people say, like, is that record going to ever be broken? It's going to be broken at some point.
The fact that it hasn't broken surprises
me
because, I mean, like these guys like Noah Lyles and all these guys where, I mean, now the – you know, maybe not, I guess, isn't as bad as it was in the 60s where we kind of know a lot more about how, you know, form, technique, diet, nutrition, all that stuff. I guess maybe since 2008, I'm sure that was in place and there hasn't been a ton of advancements in that.
I don't think anybody's even come close to that, have they?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I wonder so.
I like having these offbeat, different. Like I mentioned javelin. Like I always thought my boy might be a good javelin thrower. He's got a good arm. Did you have any? Did they do much javelin in junior high track?
So I know for Altoona, 7th and 8th grade, they didn't have javelin, but other schools around the area did have javelin. I remember going to some meets when our
Didn't have javelin. Why? Because they were afraid people were like throwing spears at each other.
Well, listen, there's been I saw some disc and shot puts almost go through people's heads.
Is that right? I can imagine.
I mean,
you go to a track meet, it can be chaotic and everything. So,
so much
especially
going on.
If you're around the throwing events, is it really all that much out of the realm of possibility that the discus and the shot put?
Yeah. Well, you got to be paying attention.
You got to be very careful.
Yeah, especially in discus and stuff. A lot of these people are, you know, if you're the home team, usually you're helping like measure out and stuff like that. You hold them, and you're like in the field, you're marking it when it comes down and stuff. Which it's kind of weird that you're making the kids. Mark, you don't have people doing it, but
see, Nathan, these are the great discussions. These are fun. I enjoy this. You're like ready to go and chomp at the bit and Shador and the draft.
Yeah, I got so much stuff.
I'm stuck.
We've got 10 minutes.
I know, but I'm stuck in here every day coming up. These are the fun discussions.
Yeah, a little bit different. So we'll move to some stuff people actually care about. 946-0435. Phone lines are open. I know Corey, harped on Shador all day yesterday. I'm gonna quickly give my opinions on it because I haven't been here since last Thursday, and he slipped a lot further than anybody was anticipating to pick 144. I thought he'd go in the first round because that's where everybody had him mocked to, and you just kind of listen to the media feed of these stories and these rumors, and you kind of get, indulged in the fact that he's going to be a top 10 pick, maybe not top three, but Saints are sitting there at 9, a team might move up in the back end of the first round if he's still sitting there. The Steelers are at 21, all that crap. Turned out none of that was true. No one really wanted Shador until the 5th round, until Cleveland comes along, and I'll tell you what. Kevin Stefanski didn't seem too happy that Shador was going to his team. Especially, it was really weird because I picked Dylan Gabriel 94th overall a couple rounds earlier in the 3rd round. Really strange situation, but I thought he was like a day two type guy. Maybe not day three because the quarterback position is still very, very you need a good quarterback. You need a good quarterback on your roster. I thought Shador was clearing away the second best quarterback. I don't trust really any.
So
other.
Why did he drop? Get to the why did he fall that far?
Because you don't want that circus, that media circus, that as a backup quarterback. Because he's going to be a backup quarterback coming. If he's not a day one guy, he's a backup quarterback most likely going to a team. So whenever you got, think about like, that's why the Patriots cut Cam Newton going in 2021, because they didn't want him being the backup to Mac Jones, because you didn't want that media circus there every single day, talking about Cam Newton, how's he feeling, he's the backup to this rookie, all this crap. So that's kind of the reason he slipped a lot, and eventually came to a point where the Browns probably thought to themselves, this is tremendous value. I mean, there is still the upside with Shador, even if it's a 15-20% chance he hits. I mean, 5th round pick, you can find a franchise quarterback. I don't think he will be, but he's got potential to develop into that. So, he's got to still make the team coming out of camp. You'd imagine he makes the team coming out of camp. That, they're going to move on from Deshaun Watson, but that, you got Dylan Gabriel now, which, he's kind of just cast the weights. I don't know what they're going to do with him. And then Kenny Pickett, and of course, Joey Flacco right there. So the entire Shador thing's really weird. It's going to be the biggest draft slide I think any of us will ever see in our lifetime. I don't remember ever seeing anything like this.
Here's the thing. We won't see this again because there's no bigger loudmouth jerks than that family. Okay? There's no more entitled people like that. I started the show yesterday. Don't be a jerk. Okay? If you want to come out and tell people that where you want your kid to go, and that you're going to avoid, if you're going to play that hand, and you're not Eli Manning, you're not Andrew Luck,
you're not Deion Sanders back in 89.
You're not Deion Sanders. You're not an elite level. They thought that he was. I saw a stat yesterday of a third of his pass attempts last year, Nathan. A third of his pass attempts were at the line of scrimmage or behind. So you're literally just padding. You've probably seen the video of Cam Ward saying, they would have given me a completion percentage award too if I was doing screens all the time.
Yeah.
And he said that to Shador, which is hilarious. But if you're going to be that family, that much of a circus, once you get past picks 10, 15, and people don't think you're a starter, this league is fascinating. And we learned a lot about the league over the weekend, because I said yesterday, the league doesn't care that Joe Mixon punched his girlfriend in the face in college. He got drafted, and he's been in the league ever since, and he's a good running back. But if you're a giant clown and you're going to create a circus, why do you think Colin Kaepernick has never come back? Colin Kaepernick's good, probably still good enough to play in the NFL right now. Nobody wants that circus for a backup quarterback.
Exactly. Hit the nail on the head. And, you know, at some point I did start to feel a little bit bad for him because I think...
I felt bad for him when I saw the prank call.
The prank call was absolutely ridiculous.
I started to watch the first second or two of the prank call, and I thought, that's a rotten hell kind of thing to do to somebody.
Especially on your biggest, supposed to be your biggest day of your life.
Yeah, then it turns out that it's, you know, a Falcons coach's
Jeff
kid
Albert's
and all this.
Kid. Yeah.
And I couldn't bring myself to watch it because, look, I'll rip Shador and Dion for being jerks and being loud and all that stuff, but that prank call thing... That's way worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a despicable kind of thing to do to somebody.
Did you hear Tyler Warren got a couple of those?
Yeah,
too?
And that's, the same area code, right?
So I don't know if it's the same.
One story I saw said that they thought it was the same area code.
It might be. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah,
but anyway, the bottom line is we're not going to see this again. People want to make the Eli Manning comparison because everybody knew Eli was at the top. Everybody, John Elway back in the 80s, everybody knew how good John. If you're that guy, if you're him... Well, okay, maybe you can play that card all you want if everybody – Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson did not sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He went and played baseball. John Elway would not play for the Colts. Eli would not play for the Chargers. If you're that guy – but if you're a guy that – okay, maybe he was the second-best quarterback in a weak quarterback class, give or take. But there are still major questions about what kind of NFL quarterback he's going
to
be.
Exactly. And Caleb Williams did this to some extent last year where he said, hey, there's teams I don't want to go to and stuff like that. And, you know, luckily
his
the
dad,
Bears.
You didn't hear from his daddy, though. When daddy's involved. And
I think his dad actually did.
But nobody knows who his dad is.
Yeah.
When daddy's involved out in Boulder, and I heard, you know, I'm amazed at all these media people. Well, I can't believe he stumbled. I'm stunned. I just don't know. Bull crap.
The worst guy to listen to over the weekend was Mel Kiper.
It was ridiculous. They know exactly why he did it. But anyway, I heard somebody today say this, and this was a really good point. You're Kellen Moore with Saints. You're going to take him when Dion probably wants your job? Think about that. Think about it from that perspective, that you got daddy out there who has as big of a forum as anybody and nobody challenges what he says. Saints quarterback starts to struggle a little bit. Daddy's griping. You think Kellen Moore wants questions at his press conference every Tuesday? Hey, Kellen, are you afraid of what Dion says and that he's going to take your job? You think Kellen Moore wants that?
Absolutely not.
Nobody wants that.
First-time head coach and... I mean, Kellen, he's pretty quiet.
The Saints would have been a good fit for him. Were they nine?
They were nine. And
that would have been a decent fit.
Then they picked Tyler Shuck at 40.
Yeah, and everybody says he's worse. But again, the bottom line is, if you're going to treat people that way, like your crap doesn't stink and you're the most important thing in the history, and then, so I made this comment, Nate. I want to see if you agree or disagree with this. Okay, we don't know these people. We're going on what we think we know about them and their public persona. If he would have gone back to college this year, he probably could have sued the NCAA. It would have been a protracted legal thing, but I'm thinking he would have won. I'm thinking that they would have found a legal loophole for him to go back to college.
I think you can go back to college.
He can't now because there's a window after you declare for the draft. It's a short window,
okay.
And it ends very
okay.
quickly in football. Basketball is a little different.
Okay,
but let's just say he would have to sue, but. The way things are going now, players get everything. They can say, well, I could go make $5 million. You're hurting my rights to make money. So let's just say he would do that. He would go back to college, have a year of a redemption tour, stay quiet. Daddy stays quiet. You go to the combine next year. You ball out as much as you can. You wear a suit and tie to all the interviews. You be as respectful and responsible and mature as you can. You do everything different. Do you think he would have done any of that?
No.
Or do you think he and daddy would have been the same insufferable people proving that they had not learned a lesson?
No, because Dion has done this for 36 years now.
Right.
That's why I don't think anything would have changed.
But what about, I mean, Shador. Eventually Lonzo Ball divorced himself publicly from LeVar Ball, his daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, LeVar talked a whole bunch of Lonzo's, like, rookie year, however many years ago. LeVar doesn't talk about LaMelo. Lamar, you don't hear Lamar anymore, okay? Lonzo Ball kind of separate. So could Shador, as big as Deion is, could Shador actually separate himself from Deion?
I think he could separate himself. I don't know if his personality would change enough, because Lonzo never had the personality of just being this
cocky,
arrogant guy.
That's correct. Lonzo was always a really quiet guy.
He was quiet, hardworking, humble guy. And
LaMelo, he just couldn't shoot. He had no jump shot, but yeah.
LaMelo was the one who was cocky and, you know, basically saying,
well, he's a better player.
He's absolutely better. I mean, I think they actually both won second overall, but he's significantly a better player than Lonzo will probably ever be. And Lonzo's been riddled with injuries, but that's besides the point right here. I think Shador is just a cocky player in which it would not have mattered. He would have stuck true to his guns to himself, and he would have
continued
to act like it. Because
I wonder if he had gone back to college, make $4 or $5 million, which is more than he's going to make in the NFL, and then go through the whole process again and shown that he had grown up, could he have been a top five, top 10 pick then?
I think he would have done things differently if he had a chance over again. I don't know if he would have stayed quiet, but I think he would have thrown at the combine, maybe had better interviews, because the story goes was he was dead set on a few teams that he thought was going to draft him. He basically bombed all the other interviews. People were saying it's the worst interviews they've ever heard and all this crap.
But, and then everybody ripped those anonymous sources for coming out and saying that. And then those anonymous sources ended up being absolutely right. And now you look back on it, that's what happened.
Yeah, it was the absolute truth. And that brings up the question, even if you're sitting there, I'm trying to think of teams that could use back quarterbacks that maybe he didn't anticipate them falling to or him falling to, but do you even take a swing and a miss at that? Because, I mean, he just completely disrespected your organization, your franchise, your coach probably, and basically said, listen, I'm going to the New York Giants at 3, I'm going to the Cleveland Browns at 2. I mean, why would you even take it? I mean, he has zero respect for you.
They
zero
had
respect.
No respect. And by the way, we have a special post-draft edition of Black and Gold Breakdown coming up at 5 o'clock. Kreider, Borton will be here. We'll recap the Steelers draft, all the picks, what we thought. We'll get Nathan's thoughts on that in a second, too. But we talked. There was a chance that they were going to take Shador at 21. And we both said what Thursday going into that?
I wouldn't have taken him at 21. That's what I said. Or no, I wouldn't have been like over the moon, but I think it would have been the smart pick.
For the Steelers to take Shador?
I think if he was sitting there, he should have taken him.
You think the Steelers should have taken him?
At 21, although I think that Derek Harmon's
because better player. That's what people thought was going to happen.
I thought that was going to happen, yes. I think that's
what we both wanted Jackson Dart to go there.
Oh, I want Jackson Dart. Yes, I want Jackson Dart first.
Yeah, wanted it.
I wanted a quarterback.
There was a surprise that it wasn't Shador. But again, I mentioned this the other day. If you still think you're going to get Aaron Rodgers, which I believe they think, they're going to get it, you could not combine Aaron Rodgers and Shador Sanders. And, oh, I mean, there would be no football discussion. Get Up and First Take would have a 24/7 correspondent at La Trobe, nonstop. You want to talk about a circus. Pittsburgh. The Jets and the Giants are kind of like that, more so the Jets because they're in New York. Pittsburgh is a smaller media market. But if they would have had Rodgers and Shador, the Shador would have hit the fan.
There would have been zero chance that anything would have developed there. Do I think Jackson Dart could have developed under Rodgers? Yeah, I do think he could have. No chance in hell that Shador Sanders would have worked if Aaron Rodgers was also in the building. So I think that was a deterring factor.
Yeah, there's no way.
We're going to the phone lines. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Dave from Hollidaysburg.
Dave, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. What do you got for us today?
I believe there's no way that Shador would have been able to change his ways because Daddy's running the show. Daddy has always run the show, and Daddy, as you said, 36 years of this is how he does it, and that's how he's going to do it, and Shador is never going to be able to break free when Daddy is not only your daddy, but Daddy is your coach and your general manager all rolled into one. So whatever Daddy wants or however Daddy's going to present it, that's what Shador is going to say, because Deion, his father, has been his ticket to quarterbacking the University of Colorado and all the way through the draft. So there's, in my mind, my thought process, if Deion's not going to change, and I don't think he can, then why is Shadour going to be able to step out of his daddy's shadow, which is huge, and be an independent person when that's not what he's been his entire life? He has modeled how he approaches things, his perspective, all on this is what daddy does.
But sometimes...
And I just don't see any scenario where...
Here's the scenario, Dave. Here's the scenario. He just lost $20 to $30 million. Is that none of us are in those scenarios? Could that scenario hit the kid, and then other people around? I'm sure Deion's not the only person around the kid ever, but we're talking $20 to $30 million. Now, daddy might have money, but that doesn't mean Shador's going to get all of it down the road, inheritance or anything. Shador's going to have a family. Shador's going to have to take care of him. Shador may never get paid. May never, ever get paid. Okay? Now, he still has some. So, what I'm saying is, the prospect of losing $20 to $30 million, is that enough of a kick in the teeth for him to step back and kind of say, I got to get away from this?
I don't think that's the question. Is can daddy be convinced?
Yeah, right.
That,
yeah.
Shador has to be his own independent person, because daddy has controlled his entire career. And to some extent, that's the reason why Shadour is the quarterback at the University of Colorado, or was the quarterback at University of Colorado. The reason why he came out this year and didn't stay in college, even though, despite the projections, there were questions about his arm, his mobility, all those other kind of issues that make you a first-round quarterback. It's not the question, can Shador be convinced? Is can Deion be convinced that he has to at least have the perception that Shador is his own independent person and has to approach this process differently?
I think Shador is going to be under Deion's shadow for a long time. Now, his other kid, Shiloh, basically said, like, hey, listen, I'm done being under Deion's wing. I'm hiring an agent right here, signs with the Buccaneers. Now, he's on the same level as Shador, you know, the hype and potential future, like they were talking him up to be. But Shiloh understands the fact that he can't live through his dad and he's got to be his own person. Is Shador going to be able to do that? But it's really hard whenever, you know, again, your dad is a Hall of Fame player in the NFL. He's a great baseball player as well. He's the head coach of a college football team right now. You'd want to listen to him, but he doesn't understand what his son is as a prospect, as a player. It's unrealistic expectations to where, can he develop and become a great quarterback? Absolutely. But Deion himself thinks right now that he's going to go in and be a top 10 guy. He's going to be a franchise leader. He's going to be a future franchise player for whatever team drafts him. That's just not the case from number one, what he's put on tape. And you also got to think, Deion's probably tailored this offense around Shador as well for him to go to his, you know, strengths and all this stuff. That might not happen in the NFL. You might have to play under a different system. You know, you might have to play under Stefanski's system. You're not going to be playing under what Deion wants. You're playing under what the offensive coordinator wants, and you're not going to be able to just completely shift. Now, you want to for your quarterback. You want him to play to strengths and stuff like that, but it's not the end-all, be-all, because you got other players around you that in the NFL, everybody's trying to make a living. In college, people are just playing. In the NFL, people are trying to make a living. This is a job for them.
But is Deion Sanders going to have enough self-awareness of his what has to become a more limited role in terms of his son's career and his son's pro prospects that he can say to himself, I have to step back.
He better.
And I think he will, though.
Here's the thing, Dave. You would think there's some level of self-awareness in there, and there may not be. We may not be talking about common sense in any way, shape, or form, but you would think there's some level of self-awareness in there. Not that he would ever say it publicly, but that he knows he just cost his kid $20 to $30 million. He'd at least played a role in it. And so at some point, parents, no matter how famous or not famous you are, you've got to let the kids. So Deion just cost his kid generations worth of money. He's got to realize that, right?
I don't think so.
Then he is one of the dumbest MFers who's ever lived.
I don't necessarily say he's one of the dumbest, but he's so wrapped up in his own persona.
Yeah.
And it has worked for him to the point that he was a star in the NFL. He has become the coach of a major college program, depending on how you look at it.
But again,
Colorado.
Dave,
let's
cut to the chase. Do you think he learned anything over the last 5 days?
From this?
Yes.
I think he thinks that the NFL took it upon themselves to try to teach him a lesson.
But they did nothing wrong. They did nothing wrong, and it's everybody else's fault, right?
Right.
Yeah. No, you could be right.
He's
been the star.
Yep.
It's tough. I think Dion's kind of teetering between the two. I don't know what he's thinking, because I've seen the clips of him. He's just like, you know, he's like, wow, man. He's not.
He looks much more lost.
Yes. He looks more humbled.
Dave, it's a great call, by the way. Awesome. We can go on with this discussion. We want to get to some other things, but it was a great call. But Dion did look more defeated. Once Saturday and kind of rolled around.
Yeah, he just looked like finally it's over with. The slide's over with. I can finally, you know, quit worrying about where my son's going to go. All right, so we're going to stop talking about Shador. You guys have heard it for an hour and a half over the last 2 days. So we're going to take a break.
How about the James Franklin discussion? That's a good one.
Yeah, we'll have a James Franklin discussion on the other side. It'll be a good one.
It's spring and time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. Here's J.M. Boswell to tell us more.
Hello, this is J.M. Boswell, the owner of Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. I want to invite you all to come into our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars. You can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself.
Think you're ready for that fishing trip? You got hooks, lines, sinkers, baits. How about cigars for you and your buddies? Oops. It's time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. J.M. Boswell has two convenient locations, 6481 William Penn Highway in Alexandria and 586 Lincoln Way East in Chambersburg. So go ahead, make that first cast. Then light up and enjoy a premium cigar from J.M. Boswell.
And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
April is National Car Care Month, and T&L Moore Enterprises is celebrating at both Russell Tire in Altoona and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales in Claysburg. Get lube, oil, and filter service, inspection of all belts and hoses, tire air pressure set, rotation of all four tires, brake inspection, and battery inspection, all for just $59.99. The weather's getting warmer. Make sure your car's air conditioning is in top condition with T&L Moore's Air Conditioning Performance Check. They'll test your vehicle's overall cooling and operation, inspect hoses and connections, check fan and blower operation, check dry belts and hoses, and a check of your temperature output for only $59.99. And when you purchase a premium installation and wheel alignment, you'll receive $50 off four new tires. Russell Tire and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales offer the Napa Auto Care Peace of Mind Warranty. 36 months or 36,000 miles on all parts and labor for qualified repairs and services. Keep your vehicle safe and ready for the road during National Car Care Month at Russell Tire, 1901 Union Avenue, Altoona, and Central PA Truck and Equipment Sales, 348 Mansion Boulevard, Claysburg. Offer expires on April 30th.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
When it comes to feeding your family, you want only the best, especially bread, only the freshest and best tasting. There's only one choice, Pacifico Bakery. Since 1947, Pacifico Bakery has been a staple in central Pennsylvania, and they continue to be a favorite with the freshest breads, rolls, and more. Be sure to visit Pacifico's outlet store, 1208 Fifth Avenue in Altoona. Open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, 9 a.m. to 4:30, and Saturday, 9 to 2:30. Close Thursdays and Sundays. Give your family only the best bread from Pacifico Bakery of Altoona.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hank FM!
All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Shador talk is over. It's over, guys. It's been a day and a half. We got to move off it. It happened. Listen, it is what it is. The slide happened, whether you believe it was supposed to or not. Guess what? It's over with. We're moving on to something a little more locally. We're going to talk about Penn State football. And James Franklin, who had a video come out over this past weekend at their spring game in which he was jawing with a fan. Now, this isn't the first time he's done this. This is what you said, the third time, Corey, this has happened. Third time back in 2018. And then last year it also happened after they lost to Ohio State. The first thing that came to my mind is Franklin just not built for this? Because I love Franklin. You got to be able to take the hate, though. I mean, you really haven't done anything on the field, and as great as your roster's been, as great as you've recruited, you haven't beat Ohio State. You haven't beat Michigan. You haven't made – I mean, you beat two solid teams last year in the playoffs, but you didn't beat a powerhouse in the playoffs. So when people jaw at him and, you know, basically tell him, listen, get over the hump in the nicest way possible. Get over the hump or get out. He takes it to heart that he needs to respond to them. Is that the right way to go about it? So I'll let you open up this core. Do you think that is the right way to go about it?
Let's throw the phone line. I'd like to hear what people think about this as well. 9460435. 9460435. There's two discussions. Okay. There's should fans be saying this? And should coaches have the right, or players too, have the right to respond? Because it's easy to look and say, James Franklin is very thin-skinned. He's insecure. This has happened multiple times now. He's the face of the university. He makes tons of money. He's got a great life. This is all part of what you've got to deal with. Okay, you've got to deal with it. Fans are going to say things. They're going to say terrible things to your players. What if Drew Aller turns around at Kinnick Stadium at Iowa, when the fans are literally 3 feet behind you and they're yelling all kinds of crazy? What if Drew Aller goes and does that? Well, Drew Aller is a young idiot kid, right? Well, James Franklin's a 50-something-year-old man who should know better. So there's two discussions. Should fans just have carte blanche to be complete idiots? And if they are, how do we gauge, how do we view when somebody responds? Me personally, I look at Franklin, I think he's got to be above it. I think it is demeaning to his position that he's done this multiple times now. At the same time, I'm a human being. And I don't care who you think you are, Nathan Forlina. I don't care how much money you have. If you're walking off the field and somebody is blasting you, isn't there some part of you as a human being that feels like you should be able to defend yourself?
I have the mindset in which I will defend myself. So when it comes to that question, I think it's a two-way street where if somebody wants to sit there and embarrass you and put you on blast, it's tough because you're the head coach of Penn State football.
Now, see, this is where we don't make $9, $10 million a year. This is the fantasy land I talk about all the time. These people live in a fantasy land. But we're also human beings. Yeah.
I would respond.
Do you think you would respond if you had a contract worth $70 or $80 million.
I do not think I'd respond if I had a contract. If I had $8 million a year on the table, I don't think I'd respond. I think that's the thing, and I think that's the difference. Is I wouldn't respond in that situation, but if I'm sitting there making $50 grand at a regular job, and somebody wants to sit there and yell at me and put me on blast about something, I'm not afraid to be.
Yeah, I think it's a really bad look for Franklin because this is going to be a recurring theme on this show until what I'm about to say ends, okay? And I've said this repeatedly now, and I'm going to talk about this a lot until October or November or whenever it ends, or maybe next October or November, or October, November 2027 or 28. Until he beats somebody, he will always be Big Game James. That is who he is. And I believe with every fiber of my being that Penn State skirted the system in getting to a Final Four by beating SMU and Boise State. Because in James Franklin's mind, and in a lot of entitled Penn State fans' minds, the program took a giant step forward last year. Okay? I do not believe that's the case. I do not believe the program took a step forward last year. The program last year did exactly the same thing that it has done for a number of years. They lost three games. They couldn't score inside the five-yard line. They failed in the clutch against Ohio State and lost. They give up 45 points in the Big Ten championship game. Nobody seems to even care about that, right? Nobody cares that they lost the Big Ten championship game. We talked about this the week after. Nobody cared that they lost that
game.
They're
in the playoffs.
It was the most ridiculous thing ever.
They're hosting the playoff game.
But they lost and gave up 45 friggin' points with the number three pick in the NFL draft and a supposedly great defense. And then your quarterback, who everybody supposedly thinks, you know, could be a top 10 or 15 pick, throws a horrific I don't think Penn State took a step forward last year. I think what we saw, the only thing that changed last year is that there's a playoff, and it's different. And they got the greatest draw in the history of the college football playoff. There will never be another team that gets a better draw than Penn State got because they're going to change the format now. And Penn State, as the number six seed, had the easiest path to the Final Four. That's never. So when I say this, until Big Game James wins a big game, I am going to believe that all these fans who are still critical of him, they are right. Beating SMU and Boise State were not big games. They were Illinois. They were Minnesota. That's what they were. Because they were in the playoff, fine. Those were not teams on your caliber.
Talent, you should beat them.
You should beat them. So anyway, you see what I'm getting at is that fans
they're not satisfied.
Have the right to question him. But in James's mind, we were one play away from getting to the national championship game last year. Yes, because you skirted the system and got there. It'd be like in the NCAA tournament. Say you're a Penn State wasn't a 9 seed. Say you're a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament, and you get to the Final Four beating a 7 seed and a 9 seed and an 11 seed and a 6 seed. Have you accomplished? Have you really beaten anybody yet? You might be in the Final Four, but have you beaten anybody yet?
Not as much as probably in those other three regions. You haven't been battle tested and beaten the caliber of competition.
Right.
So, and listen, as a coach, you should, you know, James Franklin shouldn't take anything. He should, last year, he should be proud of what these kids accomplished and how they did win. They did lose 3 games, but you did make it to a Final Four.
They lost 3 games.
I know they lost 3 games.
If they would have lost 3 games the year before in that manner, we'd be sitting here talking about how he was a failure. The only thing that changed was there was a playoff. Nothing Penn State did changed. What changed was the format. Nothing Penn State, you can disagree with me on this if you want. Nothing Penn State did changed. They lost every big game that they had, just like they always have against Ohio State and Michigan State.
So you don't think last year was beneficial to Penn State at all?
It was beneficial from a PR standpoint. It was beneficial from, but I'm talking
for James Franklin, that team, do you think it was beneficial?
Yes, okay. But that's not the question I'm saying. I'm saying they didn't do anything. The fact that we don't care that they lost the Big Ten championship game tells you all you need to know about, the only thing that changes is the perception of everybody else because there's a playoff. If there had been a four-team playoff last year, Nathan, we would all still be bitching about James Franklin. You agree with that or disagree?
I agree with that. It's tough. It's a good point.
We would all be saying, how the hell did he give up 45 points in the Big Ten championship game? But because there was already a playoff, nobody even cared. So do you give Penn State credit for taking a big step forward?
I don't think it's a huge step forward, but I think it's good for the program that you...
But so you're talking about something else. That's a completely different subject. You're talking about perception of everybody else. There's absolutely...
I'm talking about in that locker room.
That's true. But did they do anything to earn it? The only thing they did was have college football decide that the last year was the 12-team playoff.
In Drew Auer's mind, in Nick Singleton's mind, Kate Charnout, in James Franklin's mind, they won two playoffs.
Having different discussions. Let me backtrack. Discussions. Okay. I am talking about the way a fan can view the Penn State football program is no different than 2 years ago.
I agree with that statement.
If you want to talk about Drew Auer and being... Look.
I agree with that statement.
If you're in Little League Baseball and you beat the worst team in the history of the world 1-0, you're going to feel better about yourself. But that doesn't mean that you really accomplished much of anything.
I agree with that statement because I don't think any differently of Penn State. I think they're starting to get over that hump. And in the many fans' eyes, that is the exact case.
And that's why if a fan yells that James Franklin is a fraud, is that fan wrong? As of right now. He is still 1-whatever-the-hell.
Probably 24 at this point.
Against the top five. He did get a win in the top 10. Maybe both of them were. But again, those were caveats because they were put into the most favorable playoff position possible. But he is still the guy that has never won a big game.
Yeah, that is right. And if you're putting it with just the fan... I was under the perception that you were saying just...
No, I'm talking about a fan who is calling him a fraud and him responding to that fan. That fan is not wrong. But in James's mind, that fan is wrong because he just went to the Final Four.
And as a coach, I completely understand why James Franklin believes that is wrong. I do. Because you got to have confidence in yourself, got to have confidence. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with what Franklin is thinking, the fact that this program took a major step forward and... There are plenty of people in that Penn State locker room that believe that they took a big step forward. But
you're a fan. I want to ask you. Okay, so now let's have this discussion.
Okay.
You're a fan. Do you believe in James Franklin any more than you did before the SMU game?
Believe any more in him? Mm-hmm. Slightly. Not a ton. Slightly.
Okay. So that's what I'm talking about here. Because at the end of the first half... A backup quarterback from Notre Dame leads them right down the field and gets a field goal that changes the game, and then Notre Dame beats you because your defense collapses in the second half. And under any other scenario, we are ripping James Franklin for that. So, again, that's why I ask you, if they go 10-2 but lose to Ohio State and Michigan— Is that any different than doing what they did last year, losing to Ohio State and Oregon and Notre Dame? Because I really don't see it. The only difference is that last year happened to be a 12-team playoff.
I think that's the difference. I think that's what we need to view college football now.
Correct. Everything will be determined based on the playoff.
Yes. And I think the way the season ended made fans have a little bit more hope. The fact that it was a slip on defense that gave them a 50-yard touchdown Notre Dame.
But
and then
the way the season ended was you beat SMU and Boise State. And that's why I think Penn State cheated the system. They didn't earn it. Penn State didn't earn any of this stuff because they didn't beat Ohio State or Oregon or Notre Dame. They beat Illinois caliber teams. And yet everybody wants to all of a sudden say Penn State has arrived. I just don't see it that way.
I think we're going to agree to disagree. I'm not on the, you know, just completely out there saying that Penn State is this blue ball. Like, this is now a solidified playoff championship contending program every single year. I just think we're maybe just a little bit off in our perception of how what the playoff did for them and how they still are playoff in their top 15 win. I mean, Boise State last year was a top 15 team. SMU was a top 15 team.
I think SMU might have been top 10. One of them was top 10.
Oh, they're both.
One of them was like 10.
I think
number 10 or
I think they're both top 10 because Clemson was 12.
Yeah, they might have been.
So, but, I mean, they were still good wins. I think, you know, they were definitely the easiest two opponents in the field. But they were still good wins, and you didn't slip up against an Illinois.
Would you have had any confidence in the world that Penn State was going to beat Ohio State in the championship?
No, I would not have had any confidence in that, no.
So what's the difference in 2 to 3 years ago? If you don't think you can beat Ohio State, and that's ultimately what you're going to be judged on.
Doesn't matter what we believe, though. Doesn't matter what.
It does matter. It does matter what the players believe. They are more confident.
That's what I mean.
And they also gave up 45 points to Oregon.
Didn't they all score 40-something that game, too?
They scored 37.
37?
45-37 was the score?
I'm trying to remember.
45-37-38.
Yeah, because it was an 8-point game, so they would have to get two with the four Aller through the interception, I believe, towards the end right there. So.
I will die on this hill. They have not earned the next step up. Because they didn't beat a caliber of team that you need to beat to get that level, that next level of respect.
I think they were just propelled into it because of the situation they were into. But now they're into it. Now they got to prove it. Now they got to beat a quality opponent this year. And they've got two on their schedule.
They've got Oregon and Ohio State.
So they should
make the playoff.
Yeah.
And we'll judge them because there ain't going to be any more six seeds facing SMU. That's probably never happening.
You've got a chance this year to, frankly, this feels like the first time, and this is probably the best team he's had, I think, in Penn State since he's gotten there. So there's really no excuses now. We've said that 2 years ago. We said that last, we're saying it now, but there's no excuses here.
Let's take a phone call. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Eric from Altoona.
Eric, you got about 2 minutes here. Go ahead, buddy.
First off, I agree with you with Penn State. Unfortunately, they didn't prove anything, and it's not their fault. I mean, they didn't go and twist, but you know, they unfortunately, the one game that could have really helped shake some of this a little bit was to beat Notre Dame, and it didn't happen. So unfortunately for Franklin, I mean, And like you always say about all the great qualities of him, but I mean, he could go on years of winning. He's not going to win every single top five matchup, but he could win five out of the next seven, and he's still got a very negative record in them games. But you know, there's got to be some things in there with it too. You got a Big Ten championship. Maybe can pull off a national championship.
You beat Ohio State more than once a decade. You get a Big Ten.
Yep.
Hey, if he wins five of his next seven games against top 10, I'll bow down and say, hey, he has arrived. But you don't have to win five out of seven. Hell, you got to win one. You know. So until he does that, I think it is reasonable for some fans to still think that he has a lot to prove.
I don't watch as much this off season as I do during the season, but I'm waiting for them to really start to hammer them on their schedule. I just was looking up. Ohio State opens with Texas. Michigan goes to Oklahoma. Now Oklahoma's been down, but they still got the name recognition. They go to Oklahoma, I think the second week of September, and Penn State's going to be playing who? Nevada. I don't know. Is it Villanova this year?
Villanova, I think, yeah.
It's both.
Well, yeah, they're playing both.
They're playing both.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to get hammered, and I'm surprised there hasn't been more talk about it with all the talk about how weak some of the schedules are.
I read somewhere
that's going to come into play.
It's possible Penn State could be the number one team in the country in the preseason. I don't think so. Maybe two or three is possible.
I think it's at least possible.
Yeah,
they're going to be a top three team, I think.
Yeah. I mean, and you're right. When they beat these cupcakes 100 by 100 points for the first 3 weeks, you know, everybody's going to be feeling great. And then, again, the season will come down to Oregon.
I think they play Oregon, what, Last week of September.
Early on. That helps Penn State because Oregon could still be kind of finding
new quarterback, all that
bit.
Kind of stuff, yeah.
All right, we have to take a break. I'm sorry to cut you off because we're way over for a break here.
NASCAR Xfinity Series race recap from Talladega Super Speedway. I'm Kerry Murphy. Austin Hill has determined the winner after a 3-wide photo finish.
I knew it was only between him and I. Had no clue if, you know, if I had won it or he had won it. And then I was actually, when I was sitting in the tribal, I could see the TV screen that's down in the infield. And it looked like, from my vantage point, from where I'm sitting, which obviously I'm going to be biased to myself, but it looked like I had won. And just sitting there waiting always feels like a lifetime. That same thing happened to me at Daytona a few years back where I had to sit there and wait to find out if I had won the race or not. And, you know, you're kind of like, your stomach's kind of cramping up and you're like, I don't know. You feel like you're like, all right, let's just breathe here. Like, it's going to be okay. You know, if you win or you run second, it's fine. We had a good day. We ended up with a car that's clean, no issues, you know, didn't break anything.
It's the 9th Super Speedway win for Austin, making him the all-time winningest driver in the series on this type of drafting racetrack. All right, let's see here. Jeb Burton was second, followed by Jesse Love, Justin Allgaier, and Matt DiBenedetto rounds out the top five. Your quick point standings, Justin Allgaier with 2 wins, leads Austin Hill with 3 wins by 79 points. Up next for the NASCAR Xfinity Series is Texas Motor Speedway. Check it out Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern on CW. You are on the final lap.
Progressive knows there are some surprisingly expensive things in life, like frames. Because you found a classic 70s concert poster. But when you went to get it framed, you realized the frame will cost about 4 times the amount of the poster. Which is actually absurd, because no one will be looking at the frame, and if they are, then you severely overestimated how cool this poster is. But then you remember, by switching your home and auto to Progressive, you could save hundreds and put it towards a classic 70s concert poster in an absurdly overpriced frame. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
It's spring, and time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. Here's J.M. Boswell to tell us more.
Hello, this is J.M. Boswell, the owner of Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. I want to invite you all to come into our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars. You can sit in our lounge, have a smoke. Enjoy yourself.
Think you're ready for that fishing trip? You got hooks, lines, sinkers, baits? How about cigars for you and your buddies? Oops. It's time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. J.M. Boswell has 2 convenient locations, 6481 William Penn Highway in Alexandria and 586 Lincoln Way East in Chambersburg. So go ahead, make that first cast. Then light up and enjoy a premium cigar from J.M. Boswell.
And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Find out more today at High Street Gingrich Insurance Agency, Altoona.
J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars is the greatest place to go get your tobacco needs. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. Open select hours and always open online at J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. Check them out if you need any cigars, pipes, any of that kind of stuff.
I love when we have the people calling in saying they've stopped by J.M. Boswell's.
It's fantastic because you know who sent them? Sports Central.
That's right. They're listening to us.
Listen,
I think J.M. Boswell's also a sponsor of our Black and Gold Breakdown show coming up here in 5 minutes.
So we're a little bit about the Steelers draft there.
I want to get Nathan's breakdown of the Steelers here before we go into that. We got to take another break.
And
you can give us your Steelers draft grade.
All right, let's do it.
It's spring and time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. Here's J.M. Boswell to tell us more.
Hello, this is J.M. Boswell, the owner of Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. I want to invite you all to come into our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars. You can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself.
Think you're ready for that fishing trip? You got hooks, lines, sinkers, baits? How about cigars for you and your buddies? Oops. It's time for a trip to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. J.M. Boswell has a vast collection of premium cigars to choose from and a variety of pipes and tobaccos. J.M. Boswell has two convenient locations, 6481 William Penn Highway in Alexandria and 586 Lincoln Way East in Chambersburg. So go ahead, make that first cast. Then light up and enjoy a premium cigar from J.M. Boswell.
And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over two dozen local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
You look forward to your weekends, especially when the weather's nice. But it never fails. There's always stuff to do, like taking care of your lawn. Well, McCoy's Lawn and Garden can help you take back your weekend with the Kubota Z-Series zero-turn mowers. Kubota Z-Series mowers deliver maneuverability, speed, and efficient design to help you get the job done faster. The Z-Series mowers turn great in tight spaces and have powerful Kubota engines, operate smoothly, and they have the highest speed, putting you in control of your Kubota mower, not to mention your weekend. Kubota offers low-rate APR financing, zero down for 36 months now through 6/30/2025. There has never been a better time to take back your weekend. Follow the Kubota Orange Glow to more free time, more you time, more family time, more weekend. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, Route 36, Roaring Spring, online at McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com. Hey,
all right, just a reminder, Black and Gold Breakdown after Sports Central right here. Appreciate everybody for listening in today. We had a lot of great discussions, talking a little bit more about Shador Sanders, then also talking about James Franklin. We talked about if he deserves the hate and all that kind of stuff. But quickly, I just want to give you a grade on my Steelers draft. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was exceptional. I thought, you know, I really liked the – in the time, I wasn't a fan of Caleb Johnson, the running back, because I really wanted Shador Sanders, but I didn't think it was the worst thing in the world. I like the Harmon pick out of Oregon. I thought that was an excellent pick right there. And then getting Black in the, fourth round, I think, out of Iowa. He's a great player as well. Will Howard, we'll see if he does anything. I was a big Will Howard fan coming into the year. He kind of disappointed me last year, so he's bad taste in my mouth. But
he disappointed you winning the national title?
From my experience, I thought he was going to be down the stretch he played great, but throughout the entire season he really struggled, and that Michigan game was just horrendous. So kind of round that out. So again, make sure you guys are continue to listen in. Corey and the boys will be in here. Steelers Black and Gold Breakdown. Appreciate everybody for listening as always. Take care.
It's an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM, WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.